shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me home, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. Joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray now that You would use this broadcast for Your glory and honor. Bless it, Lord, for Your purposes. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome, this is Gerald Finney, Assistant Director and Lead Counsel for the Biblical Law Center. I am now teaching on the biblical principles of government. You must be able to understand the biblical principles of government, church, and separation of church and state before you can understand the practical application in the real world. Before you can understand why incorporation and 501c3 grieve our Lord. Before you can understand why those man-conceived devices result in bad consequences for individuals, families, churches, and the nation. A government, individual, family, church, or civil, will stay on track only should it have the proper motivation and set the proper God-given goal. The biblically revealed motivation for the saved is love for God first and love for man second. I've been over that. Love is the key. The improper motivation is love for oneself. If one's motivation is love for God and man, he will set the proper goal, the glory of God, and he will have happiness as a side effect, at least in eternity. If one's motivation is self-love, he will set the wrong goal, his own happiness. And sooner or later, he will be unhappy. Goal means the end or final purpose, the end to which a design tends, or which a person aims to reach or accomplish. The two ultimate and mutually exclusive goals are the glory of God and the happiness of man. Should a person aim for the goal of the happiness of man, his path must differ from one whose goal is the glory of God. The conflict between these two goals is seen throughout Scripture and history in the life of every individual, family, church, and nation. Every entity, spiritual or earthly, sets one of these two goals. Adam and Eve, Abel and Cain, and all the other characters in the Bible and all peoples set one of those goals, either the happiness of man or the glory of God. All the heroes of the faith in the Bible understood or came to understand the importance of setting the proper goal. For example, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, King David, the prophets, the apostles, and the Christian martyrs throughout the ages understood the importance of setting the right goal. Joshua understood the importance of setting the right goal. He said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Paul understood this. Amidst persecution and on his way to martyrdom, he joyfully said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In the midst of bonds and afflictions, he said, But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dearer unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Certainly his lifestyle would have taken a different course if his goal had been his happiness. If all he had counted his salvation for was fire insurance and his own eternal happiness in heaven, he could have avoided the physical torture, pain, and martyrdom which he experienced on the earth. Perhaps one who professes to know Christ as Savior only in order to obtain eternal happiness in heaven without real repentance should examine his eternal salvation. Most quote-unquote Christians today have as their goal not only eternal but also temporal happiness. Most American quote-unquote Christians today have as their goal not only eternal but also temporal happiness. God desires the goal of every government to be the glory of God and not the happiness of man. One will set this goal only if he loves God. Should anyone serve God his entire life and die and go to hell, he would only be getting what he deserves. Every person should realize that. But hell does not have to be the destination of sinful man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Eternal happiness in heaven is promised to the believer, but that is never to be the goal of the believer. It's only a side effect. The Bible glorifies God and reveals that the glory of God is the God-given goal for every person, and that everything was created for his pleasure. The first of the Ten Commandments, Thou shalt have no other gods before me, is a concise statement of this principle. Besides that verse, the Bible makes abundantly clear that the God-given goal of man, which man can embrace or reject, is the glory of God. And that glory is due to God for many reasons. Let me quote just a few Bible verses that make clear that our goal should be the glory of God. There are many others. I cite many others in my book, God Betrayed. Psalm 24:7-10 says, Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Psalm 72:19 says, And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. 1 Chronicles 29:10-13. Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Daniel 7:14 says this, And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I could go on and on and on. The Bible indicates that God is glorified through his sovereign dealings with nations, Ezekiel 39:17-21, with rulers, Romans 9:17, Daniel 4:17 and also verses 34 through 37. With Israel, Isaiah 43:1 and 7, 46:13, 60:1 through 3, Jeremiah 13:11. With the church, Ephesians 3:20 through 21. With the non-elect, Romans 9:17 through 18 and 21. God is glorified by His sovereign act of creation, Psalm 19:1, Revelations 4:11. His sovereign acts in the storm, Psalm 29:1 through 3 and 9 through 10. His sovereign judgments, Isaiah 2:19 and verse 21, chapter 59, 18 through 19, Ezekiel 39:17 through 21, Revelation 11:13, Revelation 19:1 through 2. And His sovereign act of hiding knowledge from human beings, Proverbs 25:2. God glorifies Himself by sovereignly redeeming lost human beings and sovereignly keeping those whom He has redeemed, Romans 9:23, 15:7-9, Ephesians 1:5-6, also verses 12, 14, and 18, Philippians 4:19-20, 2 Timothy 4:18. God is to be glorified through the righteous deeds of believers performed through the equipment which God sovereignly gives. 1 Corinthians 10:31, Philippians 1:11, Hebrews 13:21. Christians who do not love God and whose goal is the happiness of man as opposed to the glory of God probably will not respond to God's call for active service. They will be like Micah, who combined a little of the world with a little religion and employed a Levite for 10 shekels, a suit, and his victuals, and then said, "Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest." They have their goal. They will be eternally happy in heaven, so why not use God to also bring temporal happiness on earth? Again, this principle applies to individuals, families, churches, and nations. The goal of lost people and most quote-unquote Christians is happiness, not the glory of God. Many families whose goal is the happiness of man will seek the American way of life into which they have been indoctrinated. Mom will work, the children will be left at daycare, they'll attend public schools and will be brainwashed in Satan's principles. Many Christians set out to make themselves and others happy, not to glorify God. Many nations likewise have the goal of the happiness of man, although that goal is only for an elite in many nations. Individuals and families who love God and whose goal is to glorify God will get to work for the Lord. They will be seeking what they can do for God, not what God can do for them. They will be faithful to church even if someone else in the church makes them unhappy. They will seek to serve God, to carry out the Great Commission, and to love everyone, including their enemies. Churches and civil governments who love God will remain totally under God, and neither will seek to be over or under the other. That is, neither churches nor the civil government will seek to be over or under the other. Saved people will one day be in heaven where they will be happy, but their eternal goal and purpose, glorifying God, will be natural. Revelation 5:13 says, "And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power, be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever." God's children, unlike when they get to heaven, where loving and glorifying God will be natural, may now choose to love and to glorify him. Dear friends, our time is almost up for this first 15-minute segment. Let me say that I have never been late in getting these broadcasts to LWRN. There have been numerous times when only one segment was played, times when the first 30 minutes of my hour were totally blank, but it wasn't because of me, dear friends, whatever it was, technical problems or what. You can go back and listen to these broadcasts on the radio broadcast page of churchandstatelaw.com. That's spelled just like it sounds. Please join me for the second segment after a 5-minute break.